Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be an interesting one. I got with me Bob Kramer, the managing partner with Chairman Partners. Welcome, Bob.
Great to be with you, Lee. Thank you for having me.
Well, you've been around the entrepreneur community, startup community for a minute or so, so you've seen some crazy things. How does this rank in kind of the history of the world as you know it?
Well, it's an interesting time for sure. It's been very kind of smooth sailing for startups and the whole tech community for the past 10 years, and certainly the coronavirus has changed things very dramatically and suddenly. Though if you've been around sort of startup world for as long as I have, you've seen these things happen in 2008, back in 2000. And so, you know, it's just a tough issue and a tough time, but we can certainly deal with it.
Right. It's at the end of the day, I think we all agree that there's going to be some casualties, but Atlanta will get through this. The startup community as a whole is not going to go anywhere. They're still going to be around when this thing's over.
Absolutely. And I think this is a real kind of test of our mettle. You know, are we really serious about continuing Atlanta's strong growth as a tech ecosystem? Are we willing to, you know, continue to invest and support early stage companies when the times are tough? It's not as hard to do that when, you know, the stock market is booming and everything looks rosy. But I think the real test is when the chips are down and things are difficult. And I am confident that the Atlanta community will rise to the occasion.
Before we kind of dive deeply into this, let's talk a little bit about your background. Tell us about Chairman Partners. How are you serving folks now?
Yeah, Chairman Partners is a group that I started a couple years back to work with early stage technology and health related startups, really to help them launch and become investable. I've been an entrepreneur myself, a founder, a CEO, a chairman over the past 35 years. And myself and my partner, Matt Rosenhoft, who brings sort of a marketing and go-to-market complex sales strategy perspective, we really take on a handful of companies and try to help them get to the point where they can raise some external money, where they have a very solid go-to-market plan, solid financials, be in a position that they can work extremely closely with their customers, their prospects, and investors to get these early stage companies launched and on their way.
So now, what advice are you giving these early stage? And let's kind of break them down into two groups. Like, say somebody in January just got some funding. So now they have some money that they were supposed to deploy to grow rapidly. And then this happens. How do you recommend they kind of allocate those funds?
Yeah, I think you have to look at each situation, but I think you really want to be careful to, you know, preserve that money as best you can. If you would raise that money to step on the gas, if you will, to put fuel on the fire, to really spend it in marketing and sales growth, now might be the time to put that off for a little bit. Conserve your money, work on your product, work on your go-to-market strategy, making sure that in this new world, you have a message and a positioning and a product or service that really connects to the world as it is today and tomorrow, which is different than it was certainly, you know, say in January or February.
Now, what are you doing with those employees you just hired?
It's tough with the employees that you hired, and but I think that's when you have to really be creative and imaginative, and I think you have to control what you do control. I mean, the example we're talking about, if a company has just raised money, which would be a fairly fortunate position, I think you want to talk to your employees about making sure that you're conserving cash but keeping them engaged. Maybe you can increase your option program to use your cap table, if you will, as a way to incentivize people while, holding on to your cash. I think those are some moves that really make sense. And then there are, of course, companies that did not just raise money that have employees where that just becomes even more challenging.
Yeah, this is a difficult time for a lot of organizations. It's hard to go, what it's going to be now, maybe 30, 60, 90, even longer days, without revenue coming in. And we're talking primarily here in the startups and technology, but you have some of these kind of B2C plays, the brick and mortar, where they rely on people coming into a business. It's just a tough time for those folks.
It sure is. But, with mostly with these technology and health related companies, they can do some things. We're fortunate, Chairman Partners. A couple of our clients are in the telehealth space. And so that the COVID-19 crisis has really created tremendous opportunity for them. So, they really need to make hay while the sun is shining, if you will. And so we're seeing great sort of inbound inquiries, partnership opportunities that may have been sort of taking their time, all of a sudden being rushed to the forefront. There's a lot of opportunity. And also in sort of non-healthcare with some of the technology companies, some creative approaches we've seen are people, turning to services more than just selling licenses or subscriptions and using their own product, if it's applicable, to drive revenue, to show how valuable their products can be. We have a company that's in the call center software space, and as more people involved with sales and phone calls and outbound marketing, now work at home. This actually creates a great opportunity for them to show that their software can be easily utilized in a remote work at home environment.
So now, what are you telling the investors, maybe new angels that hadn't done this before, but they decided, 2020 is the year, I'm going to take the plunge, and then this happens. Is it still a time to kind of get your feet wet in angel investing, or is this something you would recommend, maybe let's table this till 2021?
No, I think it's always a good time, to take, if you're interested in it, and, you can take a small percentage of your portfolio and you want to kind of be in this startup game. I'm on the board of directors of the Atlanta Technology Angels, and we have 50, 60 members who, monthly come together and look at deals, screen deals, and invest in Atlanta startups and other startups across the Southeast. And we're really trying to talk to the membership to stay in the game if they can, maybe write smaller checks than they have done in the past. But not to just go from, A to Z, being in it and then being out of it so quickly. This crisis, nobody knows how long it's going to last, but there are great opportunities to make shrewd investments. A lot of entrepreneurs, some things I've recommended to some of the entrepreneurs is to go back to your last round of financing. If you raised money in the past 12 to 18 months, well, maybe open up that instrument again and raise some money. It may not be the valuation that you would hope for based on maybe the progress you had made over the past 12 months or so, but you have an instrument. People did put money into that in the past. Make that available again for your current investors and potentially for new investors.
Now, moving forward, how do you think that you and your team are going to evaluate companies that have gone through this and survived? How are you going to kind of measure their progress when this is obviously going to impact a lot of bottom lines in a lot of companies?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think you really have to look at what did they do during this time? I mean, who did they reach out and ask for help? Did they panic? Did they let their whole team go? Did they change their strategy slightly to adapt to the new realities? I think this is where a CEO or a founder really they show their stripes at this point when the going gets really hard. And can they convince and lead their employee base to be willing to make mutual sacrifices to get through this down period? I think you can see a lot about leadership, management, vision, during these times, and those that adjust, you would feel a lot more comfortable backing, when things look a little bit brighter.
Now, you mentioned earlier with angel investing that now's not the time to like kind of hide in a bunker and wait until this thing passes and then pop your head out in several months and saying, okay, I'm ready now, that it's better to just kind of stay in the game as long as possible with just maybe less funds, but still stay in the game. Is that your recommendation for marketing kind of as a whole as well? Is like for companies that are kind of existing companies that are doing what they do, you don't want to kind of disappear for a quarter or two and then just pop back up, when they ring the bell to say it's safe and then say, hey, we're back, hey, everybody. Like you should be doing some marketing at this time. Don't you agree?
I agree. And I think, this is a good time for companies to really focus on their existing customer base, to be in touch with them, to see how their businesses are going. Most of the technology companies in Atlanta are B2B companies, business to business. So the fate of those companies is interdependent on, how their customers are doing. But this is a great time to see how you might be able to help some of your customers, see to show that you're very interested in their business and to market to your existing base, maybe more so than looking for new prospects out there at this point.
And then the companies that are fortunate to maybe have kind of a war chest of cash, this is a really good opportunity for them to be a good corporate citizen and hold, the community, kind of serve the community as a whole to keep that brand ubiquity. Are you seeing that?
Absolutely. And, I think tough times bring out the best in all of us. And you can see that, in the Atlanta community and, really across the country. And I think stepping up and leading at this point, working maybe with other perhaps younger or less experienced CEOs is really something somebody could do. We all have a lot of, time right now as we're hunkered down in our homes. So, to reach out to a peer who may be struggling to be in touch with one's employee base and seeing what kind of particular circumstances they may be going through. I think it's really a chance to show one's humanistic side. And, that's just doing the right thing, but it also probably pays off in the long term with, much better loyalty and a better perception of a company and its leadership.
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned earlier, historically, when we've gone through these kind of crises, the ones that were involved and active in doing things and being resourceful, but being still out there, are the ones that are remembered and have kind of a brand halo effect that maybe kind of gives them some grace later on down the road, that the ones that just said, you know, we're going to just pack this in and just pop back up, that they don't get necessarily.
That's right. That's right. And this also could be a time that, you know, you have to look, maybe it makes sense for a company to align itself with a competitive company, you know, that you put 1 + 1 maybe equals 3. I mean, generally one would say that two small companies coming together is not always the greatest idea, but in these difficult times, there can be sort of strength in numbers. So one might want to look at, you know, is my company really geared for the long term? Is it more of a feature and not a platform? Would this, you know, feature fit in well with somebody else's broader product array? Those are some things one can really think about and try to be, you know, really, really honest about it. I think that's some good thinking people can go through. A lot of companies, you know, get started and they kind of get on their way, but they never quite launch, but they may have a technology, they may have built some innovative products that really could benefit from somebody else's sales and marketing machine that is much bigger. And that might not be a bad thing to look at during these times.
Absolutely. So now for Chairman Partners, what do you need more of? How can we help you?
Well, Chairman Partners, we can only work with, you know, so many companies at a time. And but we are trying to do our part to, you know, to give back and to be a good corporate citizen. And so we are happy to have an hour or an hour and a half conversation with a founder/CEO about their business and to give our feedback as to, you know, where what we hear them talking about, and to give them our thoughts on how they might make their way forward. They don't need to be a Chairman Partners client. We can only have so many clients, and we go very kind of deep with them as if we're sort of like a co-founder. And the whole name Chairman Partners came from my serving as the chairman of the board on a number of different for-profits and a nonprofit organization. And I've often thought nobody knows what the chairman does, but it is an important role to mentor and work with the founders and the CEOs, and to play hopefully a strong advisory role. But we are happy to try and use our experience to help, you know, Atlanta companies who are trying to make their way through all of this.
And then the website, Bob, for Chairman Partners?
Yeah, it's just chairmanpartners.com. And we have some pretty good information in there, up there, about product market fit and sort of the role that that we play. But you know, there are so many exciting things that have been going on in Atlanta's tech community over the past number of years. I think we all need to make sure that we don't lose all that momentum, that we stay in the game, we be smart, we take some risks, not stupid risks, but, you know, appropriate risks from both the investor side as well as the entrepreneur side. Everybody needs to be very realistic, direct, transparent, honest. And I think if we do that across the board, we're going to come out of this stronger, and with a even more sophisticated startup ecosystem. And Atlanta has so far that it can go in this space. So many great things working for us. So we can weather this. And, you know, we thank all the healthcare workers and first responders and people that are really doing the lion's share of the work. You know, we're kind of doing our little thing. Those people are facing life and death issues, and we're so appreciative of the work that they are doing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm optimistic as well. This is a crisis. There's no doubt about it. Historically, we as Americans have gone through crises and come out on the other side. We're resourceful people, and we tend to be optimistic. And we figure out ways to problem solve and make things happen. So I don't think that this is going to beat us. I think that we're going to get through to the other side. And I agree with you. It's a time now for the people that can help to help, and the people that are serving. We appreciate their service, but we will get to the other side. Bob Kramer, appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your thoughts about this, and your optimism is infectious, and we appreciate that. And then once again, that's Chairman Partners at chairmanpartners.com. Thank you, Bob, for sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
All right, this is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.